Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, joining me now from our Rock the Studio is Dara O'Brien, Minister for Housing and Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Fingal. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
I start with these promises that Simon Harris has been making about your department? I mean, it was the first item in his Ardèche speech, getting people out of the box room into their own homes, saying he's going to build 250,000 homes over 5 years. Does that not drive you around the bend when there you are plugging away at this for the last almost 4 years now?
And firstly, to answer your question directly, no, it doesn't drive me around the bend. Like, I think, to be fair to Simon, to the Taoiseach, that we all know my own party, Fianna Fáil, I'm sure Fine Gael does, the Greens are in government, that housing's the number one issue. So I'd be surprised if it wasn't the first thing that that Taoiseach Harris mentioned in his own Ardèche address. I think what's really important is that we build on the progress that we're making. Like, since we came into government, we have over 100,000 new homes built, more first-time buyers buying than we've seen since 2006, 2007. But there's many people not feeling that yet, and the challenge of housing remains, and I'm still absolutely committed to driving on that progress and using every available lever I can to improve the situation.
But it was very clearly, you know, the message from him was, we can do more. I mean, that must feel nigh on insulting to you when, like, what is it you've been trying to do? You've been pushing all of the levers, pulling all of the levers, trying to get this thing sorted. He stands up and says, we need to do more.
I didn't take it in that way, Claire, at all, to be honest with you. I'm rather thick-skinned anyway, but I didn't take it like that. I think there's a recognition. Look, we had 10 years of really significant undersupply before this government came in to office. And the first year, 2020, about 20,000 homes built. Last year, you know, 33,000, so a big step up. We want to get up to, though, like, I want to see us delivering more, and we've got to, you know, continue to be very ambitious and stretch ourselves to do more. But we need all sectors, government and the private sector, the approved housing body sectors, all continuing to work together to deliver those homes. I mean, if we look at what we did last year, we have more new social homes delivered than in 50 years, over 4,000 affordable homes. And, like, I'm very anxious those people who want to buy a home, that we give them help to buy that home. And that's why the first home scheme that you and I have discussed in your show a number of times, the equity scheme, working really well. And just yesterday at Cabinet, I got approval for a further €80 million to go into that scheme, help to buy grant of €30,000. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a first time buyer out there and I'm living at home, the state can give you up to €100,000 in supports to buy the home.
But it's not making the homes affordable, is it? I mean, it's just propping up the existing cost of homes. And Eoghan O'Brien, you know, has said it. We've seen it from the CSO figures. The house prices are increasing exponentially, 9% for new homes over the last year.
Well, I think what's really important we look at is what's affordable to the individual or to the family. And I'll deal with Eoghan O'Brien in a minute, but just to answer your question directly, unquestionably supply is really important, and the right types of homes for people. So if you look at the social homes that are delivered, they're safe, secure social homes for people. First-time buyers now, and I'm seeing it in my own area of Fingal, Clare, like, first-time buyers are now able to buy. And with the equity support, not a second mortgage, as Eoghan O'Brien would have said at the time, not inflationary. The KPMG report clearly shows that the first home scheme is not inflationary in itself. We need more first-time buyer homes and apartments for people to purchase. And I think it is a balance. We've got to ensure that we continue to build, that we see a levelling off of house price inflation, certainly. But then the alternative that was put was by O'Brien and others was effectively to crash the market. And all the first-time buyer supports that I've brought forward, some of which I've mentioned, they've opposed every single one of them, and they haven't actually brought anything forward to say what would replace them. Could mention one thing just in conclusion on this. Our local authorities are building affordable homes now again. In my area of Fingal, as an example, and this is happening right the way across the country, only in the last 2 weeks they advertised 500 affordable homes for people to purchase, with prices starting at about 170,000. So that's a good thing, and there's lots of options there now. Is it fixed? No, it's not. We need to do more, and we're doing that. But I think any fair assessment will show that we're going in the right direction on this. And I attend meetings, public meetings. I'm holding them myself in my own area and across across the country, where I'm meeting prospective first-time buyers. And the real important thing for them is to know that the state is supporting them and how the schemes work for them. And it's also important they know that Eoghan Brin and Sinn Féin on the other side will get rid of all those schemes.
Okay, so you've explained to us where you feel it's working, but you do concede that more needs to be done.
I do.
So what's not working?
Well, I think what we need to do, particularly the private rental sector, I think as most people can see, is not working, is not functioning as it should. And people at various different stages of their life will want to rent. Rents still remain too high. That's why we brought in the renters tax credit there, and we still have the rent pressure zones there. But we do need to expand cost rental further. And what cost rental is, for your listeners that may not know, is state-backed affordable rents for working people. We've over 1,000 tenancies in place, about 3,000 homes approved under that. I'd like to see that expand further. That's why I made changes in the middle of last year to it. So the private rental sector remains, I think, a really significant challenge. And the other area, to be very frank with you, is the area of homelessness too. We're exiting more people than we've out of homelessness to permanent secure homes now, but we're still seeing more people come into homelessness for various reasons. And that remains the number one challenge. And that's something we really need to redouble our efforts this year to exit more people from homelessness into permanent homes.
And the figure's now at around 14,000, aren't they, in
homelessness?
That's
just less than that,
When you came into office, and it was June 4 years ago now, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would hardly have expected that those numbers would remain so stubbornly high, particularly when we look at the number of homeless children.
Yeah, look, it is the number one thing that's on my mind every single day of the week. And I think I've met many of the families and individuals who are in emergency accommodation, and they're supported by the state when they find themselves in that terrible situation. We'll continue to support it. What does give me optimism, though, Claire, there is I'm seeing more and more people exiting now into permanent housing solutions.
They're being replaced by other people. But then the number is remaining static or increasing.
Well, you see, if you look at the last quarter of last year on social housing alone, let's just look at that. We had about 6,000 social homes delivered in the last quarter. That's going to feed into the first quarter of this year. So we've more stock than we've had before as well. And we need to use that to look at how we can provide solutions for people. And we're doing that too. One of the challenges, though, does remain is the private rental sector, because that was an area in the past that people could seek HAP tenancies there. And that supply has shrunken for many reasons. Fear in the landlord sector of what may be coming next, frankly. And many of them have said that to me, that people getting out and selling up for various different reasons. We need to replace that stock. And that's why the cost rental piece in social housing is so important. But I can absolutely assure you this, Claire, and your listeners, is that is the number one priority for me. And
well, what's your ambition on it? I mean, do you see a point in the lifetime of this government where the homeless figures will be below 10,000, bearing in mind that the lifetime of this government now can only extend until March next year?
Yeah, look, that would be very difficult. And let me be very honest with you. I think what I really want to see is that we're exiting more and the numbers are levelling out. Now, many people fall into homelessness for very different reasons. And it's a complex one. It can be family breakup. It can be new arrivals. It can be a rental property. So sometimes that is hard to predict. But I am more optimistic on the basis that we have the stock now. Local authorities are using their existing stock better. That's why I've been putting so much, funding into returning properties back into the market, vacant social homes, that we've done about 8,500 in the last 3 years. So, supply is key. And supply is key.
Yeah, but I suppose what you're confirming to me is that this government will end and there will be at least 10,000 people in homelessness.
What I've always tried to avoid, and not for myself, is just to get into numbers, because I'm acutely aware that behind all of those numbers are an individual and a family, and particularly the kids that are there as well. What I need to make sure, if a family find themselves in that terrible situation where they don't have a home, that firstly they're supported in good state emergency accommodation for as short a time as possible. And what does lead me to be optimistic, because I'm actually seeing that people are spending less time in emergency accommodation now and we're exiting more into permanent solutions. But I think for all of us, that I spoke to the undersupply for 10 years, that did affect it, because local authorities weren't building enough, the private sector weren't building enough. And there was an over-reliance, frankly, on certain parts of the sector, like the private rental sector. And we have to fill that gap. And that's why we're investing 5 billion euro this year. And that's why we'll be doing that as we continue on. So I think this year will be a very significant year in housing delivery as well.
So for you, that's one of the biggest problems that you face is the private rental sector. So is the moment right now for a rent freeze?
Well, what I've done, like to answer your question, I think a rent freeze out there right now would be the wrong thing to do, because it would have consequences of losing additional properties. Now, it sounds very, very, very well, and it's particularly something that's thrown out by Sinn Féin and others, a rent freeze and a 3-year eviction ban. What if we brought that forward? I could tell you what would happen is you would have more and more an acceleration of landlords leaving the market, and you would have more and less and less properties for people to get. So we tried to target it in another way. The renter's tax credit, which people are claiming that per renter, that helps people, 750 euro a year back in their pocket.
Are they claiming it though? Because remember when it was at 500 euro a year, I remember having a conversation with you about it where people felt uncomfortable claiming that because of the amount of information they needed their landlord to supply in order to get it.
I think we're seeing that figure, that's improving a lot, Claire, to be honest with you. I think the last figure I saw is over 250,000 had actually claimed the renter's tax credit. And that's a couple of months ago. We've increased that further to say, and that's per renter. And that's really important. So that is a cost reduction measure for people there too. The other thing that I have brought in is the purchase of homes with tenants in situ. So where someone's on a HAP tenancy or a RAS tenancy and their landlord's selling, that the state's stepping in and purchasing that home.
Well, then if that's working, why are you so worried about landlords leaving the market if you've a rent freeze?
Well, I don't think the state can purchase every property that comes on the market either. I think that would be unrealistic, frankly. But you do need new investment in rental too. Like you need all forms of tenure. I want more homes for people to purchase, which we're doing, more social homes. You do need rental properties too. But what happens is if you keep changing regulation and you change the pitch there, you lose and you will lose properties out there. So there will be less properties for people to rent. Like I talk to people who are looking for rental properties now and how difficult it is in this environment right now. We need to improve that. The measures being proposed by Sinn Féin would make it worse. And actually, if they're honest with you, they know that. It's a nice thing to throw out, but the effect of it would be, in my view, catastrophic.
Yeah, you're waiving utility connections now. That's been extended. Development levies again, and Sinn Féin say that you are subsidising developers, and that is causing house price inflation.
Well, I reject that completely. And just to deal with the levy itself, yes, that the waiver is continuing to the end of this year on development levies and the Uisge Éireann connection charge until October of this year. Claire, we're commencing 1,000 homes a week at the moment. We've seen 37,500 homes commence in the last 12 months. And I know that this measure has really helped. We've spoken before, and rightly so, if you look back 12 months ago, 14 months ago, with the issues that we had with supply chain and material, and costs were going up, and we were seeing schemes not starting. So I wanted schemes to start, and I had to look at a measure I could bring forward to make sure we reduced the cost and made schemes viable. So homes were being built for people to buy, for people to rent, and yes, for social housing too. So it was very interesting to see, again,
you're cutting what the developer has to put in here, but then you're subsidising the buyer to be able to buy that house because the prices are still going up.
No, could I just say this as well, just to finish the point on the development levy, and I will answer your question there. The reality of it is this measure's worked, okay? And every measure I've brought forward, First Home Scheme, Help to Buy, the development levy waiver, even the vacancy grant, Sinn Féin have opposed every single one, and they haven't said that what they would bring forward in its place.
But these developer subsidies, they've worked because they get the commencements going, but they're not doing anything when it comes to the price of the house that the buyer has to put up.
If I look at the homes that were delivered last year, okay, brand new home builds last year, about 32,500, just actually more than that, okay? So let's say 32,500 for the sake of the discussion. Over 8,000 of them were social homes, okay? So we're looking at, you know, a quarter of the homes being built out there are social homes. Then another 4,000 of those were affordable and being helped by the state. That's 12,000 out of that number. So we're getting between 40% of the homes there that are being built at the moment are being backed by the state. And that doesn't even include cost rental. So the idea that measures like this is a subsidy to a developer and that it's being pocketed is not the case. Mm-hmm. What it actually does is make sure that schemes that wouldn't begin, do begin. Now, to answer your question on affordability, and that is still a very important issue out there. Why are we having more first-time buyers buying now than we've had since 2008? Because the state's supporting them. Measures such as the grant, measures such as the first home scheme. There's a totally different house product being built now than there would have been 15 years ago. Thankfully, A2 rated homes, you know, really well built, and there's a cost associated with that. Now, there's certain things on land costs and that I am working on, like the Kenny-style measure on the land value sharing, which I'll bring in. And you know what one of the biggest costs is? Delays in planning. And that's why the planning bill that is in the Dáil and just finished in committee is so important. Because when someone brings forward, be that a local authority, be that a developer, brings forward a planning application for a scheme and it's delayed and held up in the courts, it risks the progress that we're making.
So what is your timeline on that now?
I want the bill passed by the summer recess, as I've said to you. And actually, we'd probably be making more progress if two of the opposition parties didn't drag their feet on it. But having said that, we've got it through a committee stage. I have government approval that the legislation, and the colleagues agree with me on this, needs to pass by the summer recess.
Yeah, but it's a huge piece of legislation.
Great, yes, it is.
Worthy of a lot of scrutiny, I'm sure
it
you would agree.
It certainly is. I do.
Now, I want to talk to you about asylum centres, because this is really important in relation to the entire housing sector and the knock-on effects, because we have Ukrainians now, lack of housing for those who need to leave state-provided accommodation. There's a knock-on impact on those seeking asylum. Do you know when your government is going to tell people where the accommodation centres for asylum seekers are going to be built?
I know that there's asylum seeker centres identified, and I know Roderick O'Gorman has been leading and we've been supporting him on that. We'll have another cabinet subcommittee, I believe, next week, where the Taoiseach Tánaiste, to Minister Ryan, Roderick and myself and others will attend in relation to getting an update on the progress there.
This is the subcommittee that's not working, according to the Green Party Minister of State, Joe O'Brien, yesterday.
Well, Joe attends the meetings too, and I attend those meetings. And I think, in fairness, if we look back, there's still a serious challenge there. But we've been able to accommodate over 100,000 people in the last 12 months, not without its challenges, certainly not. I see the issues around Mount Street myself in Dublin.
Yeah.
That's where no one wants to see that happening.
Can you address directly what he said, though, Joe O'Brien? I mean, he said that he didn't hear urgency at cabinet subcommittee level when discussions were being had about finding beds for asylum seekers. And he particularly mentioned those cabinet subcommittee meetings chaired by Leo Varadkar.
No, I think, look, Joe's a very good colleague and he's entitled to his opinion. I attend all of those meetings as well. And I've seen the state being able to take up a very serious challenge, particularly post the war in Ukraine, with helping our friends from Ukraine.
So he's wrong.
No, Joe's entitled to his opinion. I all I'm saying to you is, and I know him very well, and I have a lot of regard for him, so I'm not here to contradict him in any way. What I'm saying is my experience of not just those meetings, and it's not the meetings themselves, it's what comes from them. Okay, about, you know, that the offer a home scheme that has worked really, really well, led by the local authorities. There's more work to do. But Claire, if I go back 3 years, even at the start of this government, when the Catherine Day report came out and there was a detailed report that was done, commissioned by the Department of Integration as well, which was actually effectively telling us that we would be looking at about 3,500 asylum seekers. I'm not talking about temporary protection through Ukraine a year. We'll probably see this year about 20,000. OK, so this was never envisaged, the levels that is there. That needs to be managed better. Those who have asylum claims that are valid, we need to process those claims quicker. Those who don't have valid asylum claims need to be sent back.
Okay. You touched on Mount Street, and I want to ask you about that. And we know that's where the tents are erected by the single male asylum seekers. What should be done there? I mean, should those people be in that position?
No, they shouldn't be in that position. Let's be frank, but this is not an issue that's unique to Ireland. I'm sure I travel around Europe. I see what the issues are there with regard to migration, and migration is an issue that's going to be with us for certainly for the rest of this decade and beyond, because of conflict, because of climate change and that. And the state needs to manage that better. Not just Ireland, the European Union needs to manage that better too.
But that's a shrug of the shoulders. That's saying it's happening everywhere.
No, it's not a shrug of the shoulders at all. I've just said to you that is not at all where I want to see people be. And there has to be purpose-built centres for those who are seeking asylum. And we have to improve, by the way, and we are improving, in fairness. Helen McEntee has done a good job there and has brought forward new proposals in that regard as well to speed up the processing of asylum claims. So those who have a valid claim should be allowed to stay. Those who don't have a valid claim should leave. And we need to make sure that the processing time therein is actually improved upon too.
So the asylum centres then, why aren't we hearing where they are going to be? Because we were told in January that there was a location identified for at least one of them. It's the June elections really standing in the way, isn't it? Despite what Simon Harris said to us on Monday.
I genuinely don't believe so, Claire. I'm expecting an update from Minister O'Gorman next week at the Cabinet Subcommittee. He and his department are charged and have the responsibility in the delivery there. And I'll expect an update from him in that regard. And we know the investment that's needed by the state for the state to build centres too. We know the challenges that have been there for communities as well, particularly in rural areas. And we've got to be, you know, awake to that. And we are. So we need to provide additional accommodation. And I look forward to receiving an update from Roderick in that regard. Okay. And any support that I can give, I will.
Listen, on the timing of the next general election, Simon Harris says very clearly he wants to wait until next year. Do you think that gives you the best chance of turning some sort of a corner on housing? Because if you don't, and if people don't feel that and see it, the 16% that you're currently at in Fianna Fáil in the polls, it could come to pass, right?
No, I think the government will do its term, and I've always said that, and in fairness my party leader Micheál Martin has said that, so it will see out its term. We're making real progress on housing, and yes, I want to build on that this year. What I'm focused on is exceeding target this year, more first-time buyers, more social homes, and, you know, more cost rental homes out there for
people. But you need that time up to March of next year, don't you?
No, well, we have a local and European election in June of this year. We have excellent candidates and councillors and MEPs out there that are working hard. I've been out on the doors myself regularly, and I'm very content with the response that we're getting, and we're working hard, and we will stand over as
a party.
Does
it feel like a 16% in the polls response?
I don't get into polls, but no, it certainly doesn't.
It's fairly consistent, though. It must be a worry.
No, well, Paul, I understand the interest in polls, particularly by people who comment on them. And I've a lot of experience around polling. I've seen other polls where we're on 22%, and we've seen other parties drop consistently on polls. Really, you know, when you get down to it, it's about the elections themselves. The campaigns matter, but also your track record of delivery matters. And then what the alternative is, because all of the measures that I've discussed here with you that help first-time buyers, Sinn Féin, the main opposition party, opposed every single one of them and have still not produced their own housing plan that they said they would do over 12 months ago.
We'll talk to Sinn Féin
about
those questions, because he won't answer me. Hopefully we'll have Mary Lou MacDonald here shortly. Willie O'Dea is frustrated that Fianna Fáil stood back and allowed Fine Gael to get on with all the hopey changey stuff around Simon Harris. Now, with that 16% in the polls, he might be right, Dara.
No, look, you're kind of fixated on the 16%. We could point to other polls as well, but leaving that aside, look, Willie O'Dea is very vocal and he's entitled to his opinion. This government is about delivering for our people and delivering the programme for government. There was a change of Taoiseach. The Dáil elected that Taoiseach. Fianna Fáil are focused on our core priorities around housing, around education, around health, a good economy that's out there which is working to capacity, full employment being led under Michael McGrath, and the really important work that's being done on an international stage by our Taoiseach, particularly the work that he's doing with regard to the awful conflict and the war that's been that's been waged against the people in Gaza. And I think he has led in an incredible way on that and is leading by example. So we've a lot of work to do this year, well in advance of a general election that will be next February or March.
Minister Dara O'Brien, thank you for joining us on the programme.
You're very welcome, Claire.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.